We are being joined by Greene County Republican Party Chairman Brent Bagardus. Brent, welcome to the WGXC Morning Show.
Well, thank you, and thank you for asking me to be here today to talk about our candidates in this election. I really appreciate your effort to do so.
I guess it's busy days. You've only got a couple days left. Are you hopeful about this year's election?
Well, I'm very hopeful and optimistic about this year's election. As you know, Doreen Davis just left, my counterpart on the Democratic side, and I know we're both very much looking forward to being over because it's an exhausting process as you work with and for your candidates. But we both do it because we believe in what we do.
All right. Well, tell us about who's running in Greene County this year, Republicans.
Well, we'll put the statewide stuff aside. And I like to start with our Congressman Chris Gibson, who's running for re-election. I think people know Chris very well in Greene County. He's been all around. Certainly when we were devastated by the floods a few years ago, he rose to the occasion and just delivered tremendously for the county. A good man, good, sincere, honest man. Obviously, you know his background. With a service to our country. He has been a leader in Congress for bipartisan efforts, which I think we need much, much more of in this country. And I'm sure Chris is going to get reelected with an overwhelming majority.
Yeah, looks
because
like
he is the right choice.
Looks like there'll be a party in Kinderhook Tuesday night.
I believe so. I mean, it's like a football game, baseball game, there's always an underdog, and that's why they play the games. But you play hard, you work hard right to the end. But I'm confident Chris is going to have a great victory on Election Day. And I think he's going to be a great lead-in to the rest of our candidates on the ballot here in Greene County, because next on the ballot is the state Senate race, George Amador.
That's the one everybody's watching since it was an 18-vote difference and it's a rematch from last time.
Yes, that's obviously been a high-profile race, not just here but throughout the state. It's a key race as to who will control the state Senate as we move into the next two-year cycle of the legislature in Albany. And the last time we had total Democratic control in New York State, we wound up with $14 billion in new taxes and new spending, energy taxes, mass transit taxes. It was an absolute disaster. So we can't allow New York's Democrats to totally control New York State. For upstate and rural New York to have a voice, we need a Republican majority in the state Senate, and George Amador is a big part of that.
And it sounds like Governor Cuomo seems like he's going to side with some Republicans again, and this time so that it will be a quasi, even if Republicans don't control the state Senate, they'll sort of...
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, we saw the governor sort of sell out to the Working Families Party to say he was going to work to bring a Democratic Senate to New York State in exchange for their endorsement.
This was back during when he had
a
primary rival that he was trying to fend off.
Right. And, and that's an interesting party. It's fundamentally controlled by New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. I have some concerns about it because if you look what they stand for, it's not things that I believe in. It's not things I think Greene County residents believe in. They want to have public campaign financing, which is using our tax dollars to fund political campaigns. And I have a problem. I think our tax dollars would be better used for health care and education and things, not politicians' campaigns. They want to enact the DREAM Act in New York State. It's a program where New York State taxpayers would pay college tuition for illegal aliens. Now, that's not the politically correct term anymore. I guess it's undocumented workers or whatever. But I have a problem with...
Well, it's Halloween, so there could be aliens tonight.
Well, yeah, and I, as we move to the local level, I hear in the spirit of Halloween, the Democratic district attorney candidate's going to continue to masquerade as a Republican. So that should be interesting to see.
You have
going
a lot of that
in
Greene County, don't you? Republicans, so, there's more Republicans, so the Democrats pretend to be Republicans a little bit.
Well, a lot of people pretend to be a lot of different things. So,
so who are you?
So anyhow,
you're backing at the for the county district attorney.
Well, obviously Joe Stanzione. Joe is head and shoulders more experienced than Paul. Paul and I actually went to high school together, graduated together. I like him, but he does not have the experience that's needed to be district attorney. His experience is in law enforcement, and that's fine, and I respect that. But in Greene County, the district attorney has always been the lead prosecutor on the most difficult cases, the murder cases, child abuse cases, domestic abuse cases, and that's about being a trial attorney and being able to present a case in the courtroom. And our candidate, Joe Stanzione, has 30 years of experience in the courtroom, and Paul has never tried a case before a jury. And I think that's where the discussion should stop. That is a crystal clear distinction between the two candidates for district attorney here in Greene County.
All right. And I guess Peter Marcoux is running unopposed for treasurer?
Peter Marcoux is running unopposed, but he's running hard, and you got to respect that. And Peter's doing that.
He wants a mandate for a program. You want to talk about
he
that?
He wants a mandate for what he calls open book, in his effort to fundamentally put all the financial information that the county has, everything the county spends money on, salaries, contracts, on a website, so people don't have to ask for it, they don't have to foil it, they can just go to the website and get information that they're entitled to, because it's their, as Peter says, it's their money, and they should be able to know exactly where it's going so they can make better informed decisions as to who they want to vote for county positions.
So it doesn't seem like there'd be too much opposition to that idea.
I don't think so. Like I said, Peter's been working hard. We're very proud of Peter. 4 years ago, he had a very high-profile election, similar to what the district attorney's race is here this time. The Democratic candidate outspent us in that race about 3-1, had signs all over the place. And Peter won the election because he was the more qualified candidate, and he's done a great job. Now he brought in new auditors to take a fresh look at what Greene County was doing, and that's resulted in improvements in the efficiency of the government operations in Greene County. And now he's running unopposed because he's done a tremendous job. So we're very proud that we've done a great job in picking the most qualified candidates who can do the work for the people. And we think the same thing's going to happen now with Joe Stanzione.
And that was Peter Marcoux for Greene County Treasurer. And I mm-hmm. realize we forgot another Peter that's running unopposed, Peter Lopez,
yes,
for the State Assembly.
Yeah. It's funny. I was with George Amador last night, and he said he was thinking about changing his name to Peter because it seemed like everybody named Peter was running unopposed. And Pete Lopez has been our assemblyman now for I think 8 years, and he is a tireless worker for the people of Greene County and his district. He's every place. I don't know where he gets his energy from, but he truly reflects the values of Greene County residents. And again, I think he's running unopposed for a reason, because he is
not
very
the first
well
time he's running unopposed too, isn't it?
He had an opponent last time.
Oh, he did.
He ran unopposed the time before that.
That's what I was thinking. And his district has changed slightly the last time.
Peter's got parts of seven counties. Now the bulk of the district is Greene and Schoharie counties, but then he goes into Delaware a little bit and into Otsego a little. He's all over the place, and he's got Saugerties. So and he does. He works hard, and
he's happy about the gas prices being a little lower these days.
He is, because he does spend a lot of money on gas. There's no question about it. He puts about 1,000 miles a week on his car, traveling throughout the district. He does that because he wants to listen to people. He understands that the best way to be able to represent people is to listen to them, find out what they want you to do.
And if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Greene County Republican Chairman Brent Bogardus, previewing the November 4th election. And have we left? What other candidates have we left out that we haven't mentioned today?
Well, there's a race for Supreme Court in the 3rd Judicial District. That's a 7-county region that includes Greene County. It's Albany, Rensselaer, Greene, Columbia, Ulster, Sullivan, and Schoharie County. So it's a fairly significant geographic region. Our candidate's name is Lisa Fisher. Lisa is an extremely qualified attorney who works in Kingston right now as a public defender. Has been in private practice, certainly very well qualified to be a Supreme Court justice. As important, or not as importantly, her qualifications are the most important thing, but noteworthy is the fact that there is not a woman judge that sits on the bench in the 3rd Judicial District. And I think that's wrong, and I think we have an opportunity to correct that in this election and elect a woman and put her on the bench, a qualified woman, in this judicial district. And that's a very important race to me because I believe we need to send a message that women need to be a part of the bench.
All right. And there's a Catskill Town Justice race?
Catskill Town Justice race. Rick Jacobs, our candidate. Rick's been out working very hard, talking to voters. I think the most important thing, all these offices are extremely demanding these days, but town justices have to be available almost 24/7 because you never know when the police are going to need you to come in for an arraignment or whatever. And Rick has made a commitment that he will be available 24/7 to serve the needs of the people and to protect our communities.
I guess crime probably happens more often in odd hours than
I think that's probably very true and accurate. I think our judges spend a lot of time at 3 o'clock in the morning in the courtroom that we never see or know about, but that's what's necessary to do that job.
All right. Have we left anybody out?
There are some other candidates running. Most of them are running unopposed. Mike Veeder's running for town council position in Coxsackie. Barbara Fink is running for town clerk in New Baltimore. There's a proposition in Prattsville whether to have one town justice or two. So there are some other races around the county that are a little interesting, but mostly unopposed.
And so there's no other races you need to tell us about because you're worried that you're going to lose or something. Most of the Republicans are unopposed in the few other races that there are.
I'm very confident we're going to have a great election day as a party in Greene County because I think the Democrats have failed at the national level. I think they failed at the state level. I've said that I thought the Carter administration was the most inept administration we've ever seen. God bless the president. He's proven me wrong. I think if you look at what Andrew Cuomo's a bully. If you look at what his record is in Albany, if you look at the fact of what he's done with the Moreland Commission, and once it started looking into his donors, all of a sudden we didn't need a Moreland Commission anymore. And what a lot of people don't know is that before this statewide anti-corruption Moreland Commission, there was another Moreland Commission that investigated the Long Island Power Authority on Long Island in the response to the hurricanes down there. And news just broke yesterday that Cuomo's office interfered with that as well and actually guided it to have the findings that his office wanted. So there's a pattern of abuse here that I think voters need to take note of. There is an answer to getting rid of a bully that so many people just cower in fear to rather than stand up and fight. And Rob Astorino, our candidate for governor, is going to do that. He's right for upstate. He's right for New York. And we're going to do – it's tough to elect a Republican in New York State. We're not going to kid anybody here. We're behind the polls. But I truly believe if we have a strong turnout upstate, we can make history here like we did when George Pataki got elected governor.
And you think at least Astorino will win Greene County?
I believe he will. I think he'll win Greene County strongly. I mean, Democrats in Greene County voted 2-1 against Andrew Cuomo in the primary.
Right. He lost here and regionally, this whole area.
Right. And as I said, Ms. Teachout was very far left politically, and it's not because we have that many liberals here in Greene County. That was an anti-Andrew Cuomo vote. That was people saying, we don't like what you've been doing, and they were sending a message. So I think Rob has a great chance. I think the polls are – I think the race is closer than the polls show. And I think with a big turnout upstate, we can make history here.
It's also been tough. I guess Cuomo is basically not campaigning. He only did one debate, and he's not right. facing reporters, not facing the public, answering questions. Is it tough for Astorino in those conditions?
Well, it's tough first and foremost because the governor has over $35 million in his campaign account, and he's used most of it to run negative and untrue ads against Rob Astorino. So he's tried to create an – he hasn't – have you seen an ad where the governor says anything positive that the Democrats have paid for? It's run a lot of state-funded ads.
I'm not sure
that's
if I'm seeing any ads that say anything positive at this point.
Well, there is some truth to that. I won't debate that because every time I turn on the TV, it's – you're either anti-woman, you want to send jobs overseas, you're corrupt. It's gotten out of hand, and it's sort of sad, the discourse we're seeing.
Yeah, the last couple of days. We were going to ask all the party leaders that we brought in today about rural broadband and what your position on that is, if you'd like to do it, if how do you think it should be funded not funded?
Yeah, you're probably familiar with Congressman Gibson's work in that area, and that's exactly where we are. The congressman has been trying to lead the fight for expansion and the resources to do so, especially in rural areas. So we support our congressman 100% on that.
There's a New York Times story today saying the United States is falling way behind internationally in broadband. And locally, I read the Berkshire paper sometimes, and Western Massachusetts is getting a lot of rural broadband hookups where right across the border in New York, we're not. Is there any?
No, it needs to be a priority. We need to make it a priority here.
Why is it important?
Well, I think it's important about bringing people, providing information to folks, giving them access to information. I think it's an economic, it's both an educational and an economic tool that could be very helpful to our rural communities.
And finally, we wanted to ask about last-minute electioneering, if strange phone calls get made in other people's names at the last minute, or if strange hijinks. Does that sort of thing happen at the last minute in elections in Greene
County? Does it happen? Yes. I really don't see it happening around here. I think we've had a fairly respectful discourse. We may disagree, sometimes a little vehemently. But I have never seen any hijinks of that nature. My favorite one, though, was there was a special election on Long Island for a state senate seat a few years ago, and it was in February, and on Super Bowl Sunday, the Democratic candidate had calls made to people's homes, saying they were calling from the Republican headquarters. Because you don't want to bother people with politics on Super Bowl Sunday. So those are the sort of things that can happen, but they don't happen around here.
Well, we had George on before from the Independence Party. He said someone actually called him saying that they were from the Independence Party once, but they were saying an opposite line. They actually called himself.
I'm confused where George is at because I saw he was supporting some candidates that aren't on his party's line.
I guess so he has some differences with the state
independence. Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to tell us? Where the you have a local office and a website?
Yeah, we have a headquarters, 285 Main Street in Catskill, that we're working out of. We have a website, greennygop.org, that has links to our Twitter account and our Facebook page. We update Facebook. That's really our main mechanism to get our word out quickly. Tons of pictures and information up there. I encourage people to visit it.
And people can stop by the office for a yard sign or a bumper sticker or whatever.
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else you need to tell people before November 4th?
Now, the most important thing, I think, is people need to get out and vote. And it's not necessarily whether you vote for a Republican or a Democrat, working families, whatever. It's important for people to be engaged, educate themselves about the issue, and participate in the process.
All right. Thank you so much, Brent Bogardus, the Greene County Republican chairman, for stopping in on the last days before the election and busy days. Thank you for stopping by Wave Farm.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.